At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Because like you said, it hasn't happened for so long, it feels uncomfortable because it's something that's rare.
This is Saverin on Steelers.
Hello to everyone in Steeler Nation. Welcome to the Saverin on Steelers podcast. I'm Stan Saverin. I'm the co-host on this Pittsburgh Steelers Radio Network postgame show on the Steelers Radio Network, along with Charlie Batch. Also do a daily radio show on ESPN Pittsburgh, which you can get on the iHeart mobile app. It's free. Just download it. We're on every day, noon until 2. I also tweet every show out on my Twitter account. That's at Stan Love the Show. So it's available to you there. Nothing but Steeler content here on the Steelers Saverin on Steelers podcast. The game against Miami on Sunday night was eminently winnable. You're looking at the Buffalo game. You saw early it wasn't going to happen. Blowouts happen. Every other game the Steelers have been involved in. And I think a lot of people are dealing with the disappointment of not winning those close games. They've been conditioned, fans, and maybe some media members too, and maybe some team members. They've been conditioned to having Ben Roethlisberger ride in on a white steed and save the day. Because they experienced that in 2004, they expect that Kenny Pickett will do the same. Now, I'm not here to defend Kenny Pickett. You go with a rookie, you're going to suffer through rookie mistakes. It was good enough for Peyton Manning. It's good enough for anybody. That's just the learning curve. It's the way it is. But I think that Steeler fans are conditioned to having Ben, who, by the way, started that year as the fourth-string quarterback. Tommy Maddox, Charlie Batch, both got injured. So did Brian St. Pierre, and Ben was fourth on the depth chart. But because of circumstances, he was forced to come in, and we all know what happened. Steelers end up going 15-1, a remarkable achievement. He grew rapidly, although I think it's prudent to point out that when Ben took over and there was no other choice, a rookie who, by the way, came in after just his junior year and played at, and I hate to say this, a lower level of competition because I am a Miami of Ohio graduate, so I'm pretty protective of that. But he didn't play in the Big Ten or the SEC or the ACC or the Pac-10 or Big 12. Played the MAC, but he had obviously innate talent. And Kenny Pickett played at a high level. I do think that his resume was somewhat bolstered by playing his senior year in a really weak conference. I think that's fair to say. Clemson was the only team really worthy of any national attention, and they were in a down year. They were rebuilding, retooling, I should say, when it comes to Clemson. But be that as it may, Kenny showed a great deal of spark. I did not think that this was the year to draft a quarterback. Had nothing to do with Kenny Pickett. I just thought other positions had a greater need. But okay. But here's the difference. It's not so much a matter of which quarterback is more talented. Time will tell. Although it's going to be tough for Pickett to top a Hall of Famer and a first ballot Hall of Famer. And when you think about that, I would imagine that you feel the same as I do. That being that if Ben had been in the game Sunday night, they would have won. Exact same circumstance, give him the ball with 3.5 or whatever it was to go, he would have found a way. He's one of the greatest comeback quarterbacks of all time. Look at the number of fourth quarter comebacks he had just last year, 7 of them. And look at his career. He's done that like virtually no other quarterback. But it's unfair to expect Pickett to do the same thing. And again, I'm not trying to grease the wheels for Kenny Pickett. He made the mistakes, and he's going to make more. Ben made mistakes too. But the difference is, look at who was around Ben, and look at who is around Kenny Pickett. Running backs, Jerome Bettis, Willie Parker, Deuce Staley before he got hurt. Wide receivers, Plaxico Burress, Hines Ward, Antoine Randall L. Now, the Steelers' wide receiver corps is a great deal of potential. They look like three stars who might be able to burst out. But we haven't seen that yet. Maybe that's due to quarterback play. Maybe the three receivers, meaning Deontay Johnson, George Pickens, Chase Claypool, they've been stunted in their growth by this offense that they're running, what I like to call the dink and stink. Maybe they would break open. Maybe they would break out. Maybe they're suffering from playing with a rookie quarterback. But the trio of Antoine Randall L., Hines Ward, and Plaxico Burress, it's a clear advantage to what Ben had as opposed to what Kenny Pickett has. Maybe more importantly, let's look to the offensive line. Now, this offensive line is getting better. It's certainly much better than it was in game one, especially in pass protection. But that offensive line had a Hall of Famer in Alan Faneca. It had a solid Max Starks. It had a solid Jeff Hardings. It was a very solid offensive line. The one advantage this team does have is that Pat Freiermuth is probably better now than any of the tight ends the Steelers utilized. Jeremy Tooman, guys like that, not bad, but not game breakers like Freiermuth can be. But the offensive line alone gave Ben a big advantage. And let's get to the defense. I mean, I was around, perhaps you were too. That defense across the front, 2004, Kimo von Ohlhofen, Aaron Smith, Brett Kiesel, Casey Hampton. Only Cam Hayward would be able to start on that with that group. Inside linebackers, James Ferrier, a great player. Larry Foote. Now, I think the inside linebacker play has been getting better with Miles Jack. And Larry Foote is coming on. But still, a guy like James Ferrier made a difference. In the secondary, Deshae Townsend and Ike Taylor on the corners. This year's Steelers aren't even close to that. Ike Taylor had trouble hanging on to the football. Further the old cliche, if they could catch, they'd be wide receivers. But Ike was a good player. He was a shadow guy. They stuck him on the other team's best receivers, and they faced some good ones, and he didn't disappoint. At safety, Troy Polamalu. I don't know if Minkah Fitzpatrick is his equal. They don't suffer much there. And maybe Chris Hope, who was a starting safety in 04. Terrell Edmonds is coming on, playing good ball. Maybe that's a wash. Maybe a slight edge to Troy over Minkah. But you see the overall picture. When Ben took over, Bill Cowher instructed Ken Wisenhunt, the offensive coordinator, keep it simple for him. Don't load him up with too much. Let's rely on the running game. Let's rely on our great defense, and it was a great defense. Let's not give this 21-year-old kid too much to digest. Now, Ben bristled under that, but it was better for the team in the long run. And thus they went 15-1 from that point after he came in that game in Baltimore. Expecting Pickett to do the same thing with this group of players, I'm not saying they're bad, but they're not an AFC champion or of the caliber to play in an AFC championship game and then to win the whole ball of wax the following year. So the Steelers find themselves in an unusual position. They find themselves virtually out of contention. It's a different feeling. They're not used to it. They're used to being in contention for everything at the midway point of the season. As of now, they're not. How do they react to that? Let's bring in the guy who started right tackle for that 2004 Steeler team. Well, he played right tackle, didn't start until a couple years later, but was drafted in the same draft as Ben Roethlisberger. Max Starks, now the color commentator on the Steelers radio network. And Max, when you came in 2004, you were in an AFC championship game. The next year, you're in the Super Bowl. Your guys were used to competing for the ultimate prize. How will these veterans react when, at least temporarily, they're not in that position?
Well, I think it's frustrating. You know, I think, and everybody has a right to be frustrated, old and young, with how things are going, just because if you've been here as long as a lot of those legacy players you're talking about, you know, like there's a standard of excellence. And even for Mike Tomlin, Mike, this is the first time you've really been in this type of situation, because you've always known, even when you had these slumps, that you were going to get out of it, right? Because you had Ben Roethlisberger. You had a top defense. You had veterans you could look at, and you don't really have that from the top down. Yes, you have some guys.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. Love he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on
I'm
top of
that. I'm like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Right. It's not the guys at the right position. It's, you know, you want a veteran quarterback, but because you've had one for 18 years, essentially, one that kind of went boys to men on you. And this is that first year where there's uncertainty at the quarterback position, that if the quarterback goes out, that he can lead the drive, because we all felt it, right, on Sunday night. 2 minutes and 20 seconds left, we got the ball back. Defense gets us the ball back. They were playing a superb game. And then right at the end, right where you think, okay, this is what we're used to, it's an interception. And the inexperience kicks in, that this was four down territory. You had a clear lane to run. You should have ran, but you were trying to throw the touchdown pass, which you can't fault him, right? He's at least attacking and not throwing some check down in the middle of the field that's 5 yards on third and 16. But that's where it's like, it's just the disconnect where you're close, but you're not quite there yet.
Do you have any doubt, and this is always a risky proposition, that if that's Ben in that situation, they win the game 17-16?
Yeah, I think for all intents and purposes, that's what you have to assume, that Ben would, because we have evidence to prove it, right? We have years of experience and times where it has happened. I mean, the only time it did not happen, you think, in that last year where you're in a position to win it, was Minnesota, right, with the Freiermuth catch and double coverage. But you're like, he made the throw. It didn't get intercepted. But had you had one more shot, maybe you make it that time. And, you know, we could talk about that. And this defense is a lot different than it was a year ago. So you're thinking, when you suppress a team to 16 points in a game with Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill and what Tua can do, defense did its job. You know, offense just did not do enough to put them over the top. And I think that's what's the frustrating part of it, is that, man, we were right there. We should have done it, and we didn't. But it's like, Ben's not back there. Jerome Bettis isn't back there. Hines Ward isn't back there. You have some different pieces, and they're all coming together for the, you know, on this journey this season. But I will say this, I'm encouraged, because I like the relationship and chemistry between George Pickens and Pat Freiermuth, right? I like Chase's fight, but Chase is also still stumbling along the way. Deontay is figuring it out with the new quarterback. And it's just, it's a lot of people trying to get to the same place, but taking different directions. And that's the tough part, right? You know, you get that one way, you know, when you check your phone for driving directions, it gives you four or five different paths you can take. This is the fastest one. This is the less amount of turns. You know, this is the one least amount of street lights. Avoid the tolls, avoid the highways. We're getting all these different versions of it, as opposed to everybody kind of getting on the same page and say, hey, we're just going to take this route, and let's just all be locked into this route. And this is what it looks like. It's not going to look pretty. It's not going to be great, because we have a new driver, right? You know, you see a student driver on the freeway. He's got all the stickers and badges on top of it. It lets you know it's a student driver. He's driving in the right lane. He's scared to go in the left lane. And that's what you kind of have to deal with. You're riding in the car with the student driver when you're used to probably riding with a race car driver.
That's a great analogy. Aside from the quarterback, as they prepare for the Eagles, arguably the toughest team they've faced thus far, and realizing that the chances of them climbing back into this thing are slim, deep in the recesses of the veterans' minds, who in Pittsburgh are used to playing for something, how do you get yourself up to play a game like this when you really haven't been in this position with a legacy franchise like the Steelers?
Well, I think the biggest thing is just, you know, you brace. And the good thing is, the rest of the league is not that dominant. And I say that the team that we're about to face in Philly is the apex predator right now in the NFL. But the rest of the teams that are outside of them, Buffalo, and it pains me to say this, that you have a New York Giants team that's in striking distance like this. But the Giants, Kansas City is your, those are really your top four. And then everybody else is mulling around the 500-ish mark, if not a little bit below. And so you look at that and you say, you know what? There are 14 teams that got to go to the playoffs. And if I'm number one or number 14, it doesn't matter. I still got my ticket stamped. So we're looking at being that number seven seed in the AFC race. That's still reachable. Now, division title, no. But for everything that you have and want and desire, it's still front. And listen, division title isn't that far out either, because you still have four divisional games. If you can actually click on all cylinders, then you make a run in the division. You only have one loss in the division and four more games left. And you've already got one, you got a one up on Cincinnati. So it's not that far out. It's just mathematically, it looks really tough. Like, it's got to be a lot of perfection and a lot of goodness that has to go your way, but there's still a path. The door has not closed on you yet. And so I think you cling to that little bit of hope, and you try and hype yourself off of that little bit of hope, because stranger things have happened. And don't count yourself out until they tell you you're out, right? Get knocked down three times, they have to determine it. That's a TKO. Like, you're not allowed to get up again. But until then, you keep fighting and you keep standing up.
As you look at it, Kenny Pickett is going to make some mistakes. I thought the defense played pretty well after they got out of that first quarter funk. And they played very well against Tampa Bay. And by the way, in the next segment, we're going to talk about the Steelers aren't the only legacy franchise that is underperforming. Tampa Bay, New England, there are several. But when you look at the improvement of the defense, I think the offensive line has improved incrementally. And Kenny Pickett's going to make his mistakes. But is the rest of the group, if they continue on a forward trajectory, capable of giving him the support that he needs? Are they good enough?
I think they are. I think they are at a lot of their key positions. But it comes to unification, right? It comes to everybody peaking at the right time, and because you can't have one without the other. You know, you look at the game against Tampa Bay, you saw what this team can do when they all come together under less than ideal circumstances. You can pull out the win, right? Get the special team splash play, get the defensive play, you know, and then have an offense that can actually move the ball and actually put points on the board. That's what it is, and we've seen that. So a precedent has already been set, so it's not like we're asking to do something that has not been done before. We've actually seen it in practical application, but now it's building off of that practical application, making sure that everybody comes to the party every day. And that's where we're kind of up and down. I'm still encouraged. I'm frustrated, but I'm still encouraged by a lot of the things that I see out there. It's just I need all the dots to connect, right? That's the one thing that I struggle with, is that not all the dots are quite lining up every single time. They're not in the same place every time I put my pen down on the paper. And that's where you have to kind of have a little bit of credence and give a little bit of deference, even for a story franchise. Because like you said, it hasn't happened for so long, it feels uncomfortable because it's something that's rare. And we're just going through that rare time. We just have to be committed and keep continuing on the path, because, you know, everybody's gaining knowledge. And Kenny Pickett especially, yes, he learned a lot from day one of OTAs to here. He's still got a lot to go, a long path to go. And he's learning on working with these receivers. You know, this is the second week he's had a full week with them. Not because he was out with the concussion protocol, whatever. And so you're trying to monitor him, but everything has to grow. You have to fast track it. He didn't get any training camp time with a lot of these receivers. George Pickens, maybe. But he didn't get it with Deontay, didn't get it with Chase, and didn't get it with Freiermuth. So he's learning with those other pieces. And then also, that first team offensive line also has to get a feel for how Kenny moves and knows what he likes to do, because Kenny can run or Kenny can evade. He doesn't have a tendency yet. And so that's also what you're working with him with an offensive line, is not knowing what your quarterback's tendency is. Is he a runner? Is he a sidestepper? Or is he the guy that steps up?
I raise questions about the Steelers' ability to respond after the blowout in Buffalo. And I was pleasantly surprised. They rebounded and beat a Tampa Bay that was favored by more than a touchdown. Consolidating with a win in Miami would have been nice. How do they come off now? The record is the record, 2-5. It's a daunting task. The Eagles are 6-0. But how good are they? How good are they? They've beaten the Lions by 3. They're 6-0. They beat the Vikings easily. They beat Washington. They beat the Jaguars. They beat Arizona. They beat the Cowboys. That's their best win. But that schedule is not exactly murderer's row. Maybe the 6-0 Eagles are a bit overrated. We'll find out more Sunday. Thanks for joining me on the Savern on Steelers podcast. If you enjoy the content of these podcasts, please let your friends know. You can find it at Steelers.com. Don't forget to join me on the postgame show with Charlie Batch on the Steelers Radio Network Sunday after the game in Philly. And you can tune in to the iHeart Media app. Download it. It's free. You can listen to me each weekday, noon until 2. I also tweet out each show via Twitter. You can listen to it there. I'm Stan Savern. Thanks to Steeler Nation. And so long, everybody.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.